Crazed Router. What's up, everybody? My name is Kurt Ozon.
And I'm Nicky T.
And we're here with Charles Wesley Godwin. Thank you for joining us.
What's up, boys? You know, I feel like we've done many podcasts together, just never actually
just
been
in catering instead of
mic.
Microphones. Yeah, yeah, man. Well, thanks for joining us, dude. It's just cool getting to do this. For me, you know, it's like we've gotten to play together, and now we're getting to do the podcast thing. It's like my two things I do. Yeah. So.
Well, you do a lot of things, but those are two of them for sure.
Yeah, we were just joking. This is not exactly the Joe Rogan space, but we are in the stadium that we're about to play a show in tonight, which is pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. You're making a productive day, too, getting the podcast done.
Yeah, dude, and same to you. And we both
knocking out a fiddle solo here and there.
You know, hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. How you been enjoying the tour so far?
It's been great, man. It's been a... the soft opening spot is—it's kind of a great place to be in for playing stadiums for the first time because there's not much pressure. You know, I don't most of the large percentage of the people.
A toilet flushes off in the distance. Yeah, thank you for closing that door now. Like, yeah. One of my bandmates is for sure getting rid of some anyway.
But I can't remember what I was saying.
Yeah, you're talking about the stadium. Oh. Enjoying the shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're the soft opener spot, so it's low pressure. Like, most of the people have no idea who we are, so they're not expecting anything. They're here for Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
So all it is really just it's just an opportunity. It's an upside because, you know, best case scenario, you grab them, they enjoy it, they have a great time, they're standing up by the end, mm-hmm. cheering, they're pumped up, loosened up a little bit. And worst case scenario, you just end at the same place you started, and you just – try it again next week. So it's kind of a great place to be in for stadiums because it's just no pressure. It's just an opportunity to go out there and get the crowd loosened up. And also, it's been cool to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The culture of your all's tour from top to bottom is incredible. From Luke all the way down to the stagehands, everybody's cool, nice. It's like a big family. And, you know, it showed me that, you know, you can still have shows this big, everything still happens on time and gets done, and everybody can have a good time doing it, you know.
Dude, I love that. All right, we're done. That's all I needed.
Yeah. I've been a part of some other big shows where that's not the case.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, is this how it is when it gets
– it's not.
Things get to this scale, and then, yeah, got to be a part of this, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you can still have it. Be the same culture as like what just you and your band are when you're playing clubs at the start. So.
Yeah,
are you taking ideas like when I do my stadium tour?
I know I can dictate the culture of it from the top.
Yeah,
and I can ask, you know, those around me that are close to me to keep an eye on things, and if they ever notice that that's not happening, then I can address it.
Yeah,
you know, so
and you know we've gotten to open for a lot of people on tours like. We did Aldine tour, you know, which was great. And when I played for Michael, opened for Darius and opened for Brantley. Each tour, those are all great. Each tour has a different vibe. Mm-hmm. So I'm always thinking, like, what if I was the artist and I was the headliner, what my vibe would be? You know, like, Dirk's has, like, the backstage, like, camper bar or whatever, like, all the cool little things like that. What would you do if, like... What would be some Charles stuff?
I definitely like the idea of like the after show hangout where everybody's welcome. I think that's a cool thing. And then, I mean, if I was balling out of control, I'd just
balling out of control.
Everybody's like, you know, showing up and you got Brooks running shoes in your locker and shit like that. Yeah. Like lots of cool tour favors.
Yeah.
And things. Everybody, for some reason, is just going to have Mountaineer like swag just around and, you know, hopefully. Well, they're going to be mandated to root for the Mountaineers if it's during the season.
I know, like, McGraw tours with, like, a gym, you know? I know Dirks is, like, into the bike thing, so you could be like, we already have our own little mini running club. It's just me, you, and Al usually, but.
Yeah, and whoever else wants to tag along.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a run.
Yep, not going to do that. I didn't bring the right shoes, of course, yeah.
I think also is one thing I would do is that you guys are already doing this is like I would have like a barista like on staff.
Yeah, Eric, our utility player, he used that was his gig before he went on tour with us. So
yeah,
yeah, we got a a Rocket espresso machine, comes in a road case and everything. So we just set it up every show, and Eric kind of taught us all how to make it, you know, make good espresso on a basic level, and then everybody's figuring out their lattes and things like that now. So that's a big morale booster, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're not sleeping as much as you're used to at the house. Not that you guys are at the house sleeping a lot,
yeah.
Yeah. Or that you get a lot of sleep at the house anyway, I'm sure. But
yeah, this morning Miko made this for me before I headed over here. Yeah, I needed it. Natalie was like, "You look terrible today." Like,
no.
This morning. And I was like, "Yeah, I felt terrible. I woke up and like just was like confused and puffy eyed. I don't know why I was so tired today."
Bus problems, maybe, or who knows? Just road dogging, and I get there sometimes too, man.
Yeah, I guess when I think we haven't been in the same place for a whole day at all this week. I guess at every point in every day this week has been some sort of a travel to or from the bus or somewhere to play. Yeah. So yeah, I haven't had 24 hours in the
on the grind.
Yeah.
And you guys you're still based out of West Virginia?
Yeah.
So you guys bus call from there?
Yeah, we bus call from Pittsburgh because it's easier for all the other band. Guys. They're all there, so I drive up to them. And
yeah.
Kind of, I'd feel like an asshole if I made everybody drive down to me.
Yeah.
That's the most Charles thing ever, is like putting other people first. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I mean, you're just in the thick of the grind right now, man. It gets tough sometimes.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks left, and then we're got a nice light fall ahead of us. And get some more time to record. We'd started recording songs while we were out on tour, but like there's just way less time than what we thought. You know, we got three songs done and Airbnbs and hotel rooms, and then for the last month and a half, 2 months, it's just been nonstop. And there hadn't even been a chance to record anymore, so it'll take getting off the road to actually get the project done I was wanting to do while on the road.
Yeah. What is that looking to be, like a full length, or?
I think it's going to be, going to make it an EP. Cool. And it's enough material for a full length, but it's not, there's not a common thread between all the stuff. So I think it's going to be an EP or two. And then there is some album things that I can kind of look ahead and see that it'll be something I'll save for what'll be the next album. Cause I like the albums to have a common thread between them, you know? So I'll keep aiming towards that and keep working towards that. But then there's been a lot of songs along the way that are just kind of separate from what I have in mind. So those will end up, I think, on just fun side projects, EPs and stuff.
They're too good to let them just kind of hide out.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually if I ever like, you know, if I finish a song, I'm usually pretty happy with it. Because I'll stop if it sucks really bad at this point, like, and just keep, I'll move on to something else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I get one finished, I like it, you know, if it makes me feel good when it's done, and I think it's worth putting out. So yeah, I got a lot of work to do this fall in the studio, but that'll be fun.
Are you guys going back to Echo Mountain?
I don't think Echo Mountain's open right now. I think they're building a new one. They have looks like a farm outside of Asheville that they're building, kind of like a studio compound. So I don't know if they're still open at the church in downtown. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where we'll do the next album, but for the EP, I'll just do it anywhere, everywhere. Al's place.
Yeah, I was gonna say Pittsburgh and Al's spot.
Yeah.
In terms of the stadium shows in general, have you noticed any songs like really hitting with the audience, or are you testing out any new music while you're out doing these?
I'm not testing anything new out, just stuff that's on the previous albums.
Yeah.
And the ones that I think hit the most are the same ones that are our most popular ones at the show, because just whatever, you know, whatever reason, a song's more popular than others. But yeah, like All Again, Family Ties, Hardwood Floors. Mm-hmm. Those ones, you know, I can notice a little bit more pop out in the stadium and stuff.
Yeah. How is that like experience compared to the shows that you were doing previously? Because you were doing pretty big shows before, but not stadiums.
Oh, to the stadiums?
Yeah.
It's a lot different, because like when we're playing our own show, it's to like 2,000 of our diehard fans that know all the words.
Yeah.
And when we're the soft opener at this, you know, it's 35 to 45,000 people where...
That's so many people.
I know. And it looks literally like, you know, it's real, you know,
sparse,
spaced out still. And a huge percentage of those people have no idea who we are. So it's a different energy, but that's something me and the guys have come up doing for years. And it's something that we embrace. We take pride in the opportunity to get to open for somebody.
Yeah.
I think we're really good at it because we bring a lot of energy and a positive mindset to it. And we know our music's good.
Mm-hmm.
We have no insecurities there. We just know that they don't know us yet.
Yeah.
So we're just going out there to like put the show on and, you know, we use the catwalk and run, hop around, get the energy going. And you know, hopefully, you know, people just kind of get loosened up and, you know, let out some whoops and stuff like that. So that way, by the time Luke comes on, like everybody's already stood up out of their seat, clapped, yelled. And that way, you know, when Kurt and the guys come out, you know, the crowd's
Kurt
already.
Kurt and the guys.
It's already at a 10. You know what I mean? Rather than them having to come out to a flat stadium where people have just been sitting there not really entertained.
Yeah.
And we're just happy to try to like work towards, because it's like steps. From the time doors open to the time the headliner goes on, it's steps to get people loosened up.
And yeah.
They get a few drinks in them.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to some music they enjoy. They get the goosebumps or something from somebody, you know, putting everything into it. And then by the time Luke comes out, they're already like mid-show form. And they're ready to sing the words back. And, you know, hopefully that's how you all feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, playing a stadium show, if you've never done it.
I've never done
it. It's amazing. Isn't it? It's crazy. It's like absolutely bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say like 99% of the time when we play the last note of the set, I could just do it again. I could just do another 2 hours over again. Like it's, especially with, it's like when it's Luke's crowd.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we had our catering guy, Danny, came out and chug that beer with Luke, you know? And I don't know if you saw that, but, and, you know, he made Mama this morning, and he got to come out with Luke and chugging a beer, and I was like, well, what'd you think about it? He was like, that was better than any drug I've ever done. He's probably done some drugs, you know? So it's like, it is. It's an incredible rush, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, yeah, when... By the time you guys go on, it's filled all the way up to the clouds, you know, on the second deck. And it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
As for, you know, being the soft opener, so you're the third slot. Mm-hmm. So we have Wilder Blue on Fridays. Wilder Blue, Haley Witters, Charles, Cody Jinks, or Avett Brothers, and then Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you noticed, like, playing these shows push the needle, push your career forward? Have you noticed you've gained?
Yeah, we've done two of the cities so far that we've opened these shows at. We've done Summerfest in Milwaukee, then we had our first headliner in Buffalo. And the Buffalo one sold out I think 2 months before. So it's kind of hard to say what our max would have been in the city there. Because we didn't have time to add a second night or something like that. But Summerfest in Milwaukee, we could really, like, see the direct line. Because we open for you guys in April, and then we do Summerfest in the end of June. And all the variables that go into a festival-type show were against us that day. We were the late show. So Childers was the headliner at the festival that day, and then we were after him. We were kind of like the after party type of set. So that in itself, like, everybody's been like kind of drinking all day leading up to Childers. Oftentimes those after party sets aren't, you know, they sometimes they're a miss, especially like when you're starting at like 11:30 or midnight. And then also there's a downpour.
Dang.
So absolute downpour, and I was like, man, this is about to be rough. And it's not the traditional festival, like it's like this series of multiple weeks where it's like all these permanent structures that are spread out along the whole coastline of the Milwaukee. So it's not like a Stagecoach or a Under the Big Sky type deal either. So again, like it's not normally it's not looking like this is going to be a great set.
Right.
And we go out there, and it is all the way back to the concessions. I don't know how many thousands of people it was. I don't know what that amphitheater fits that we were in, but it was our best show of the year. It was incredible. And, again, there was no reason why it should have been. And I think us opening at the Brewers Stadium for y'all probably played a big part of that.
That totally makes sense. And, I mean, people, the music's great. And so if people are coming Luke Combs fans and they're hearing it for the first time, first of all, it's different than Luke's style of music, but it fits in the same fan base style. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of crossover, in my opinion, of your guys' sound and that sound as well.
Yeah, and that was a one reason why I was real excited to get to open on this tour is I think a lot of Luke's crowd is more of the, like, I guess, like young adults, like young adults are having a family to middle age. Like, so it's like late 20s to the 40s and stuff like there's probably the bread and butter of Luke's crowd.
Yeah.
So that I thought that I would connect well with those people because I'm in the same stage of life as like Luke and a lot of his fans. Whereas like, you know, in the past, I've been playing for maybe a lot of younger like folks who are kind of I'm in a different stage of life as them.
Yep.
So I think this is a great opportunity to connect with more of like those middle age country fans and get in front of them.
Yeah, middle age like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got you know two kids married.
Yeah. Well, those are the people that have money to pay for tickets and have money to pay for merch while they're there also, you know? So
it's a
good demo to have, you know, sure.
And it sounds like, you know, I was talking to Adam, your tour manager, and I mean, you know that, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
And he was saying that you guys just sold 3,000 tickets somewhere, some show he was like really amped about. Do you remember where that was?
Or? That was Raleigh. Yeah, last Saturday. We played they set up like an outdoor stage outside of the Lincoln Theater in downtown. And
that's awesome.
They like closed off the whole parking lot and we just sold the thing out and had a hell of a show. It was a lot of fun.
You know what's weird is I had this realization when we were playing Tampa last year, but I was with my parents and we were driving from breakfast and traffic was like a nightmare. I was like, I never would have dreamed in my entire life when I started playing guitar that I would play a concert that was so big that it like disrupted a major metropolitan area's traffic thing. You know, it's like you're playing a show that's so big, they had to take it out of the theater, put it outside and close down like downtown area so that people can come listen to you play music.
Yeah. That's the one thing about these stadium shows is like we're trapped here for the day. It's like closed down for like half a mile radius, like around the stadium. You can't really get anywhere or get an Uber. So
yeah, it's like arena tour. So, it's like you can pop out to the cool coffee shop and just walk out the front door and go get lunch if you don't want to eat catering.
I'm not complaining, but yeah, it's funny. Like when I have like friends and family coming to these, they're like, do you want to do something like blah, grab lunch? I'm like, I can't. I can't really leave.
Yeah,
I've tried it, and it turns into a half day ordeal just to like get in and out of the
place. I get like an anxiety because I'm like, what if I can't get back and there's traffic and I have to like sprint back to make it to the show in time.
If you're running late and that would be a nightmare. And that's one thing about these. It's a little different than
first world problem we call that.
It's nothing to complain about. It makes it nice having that espresso machine in here.
Which is I was hoping that we would do this in y'all's room, but it just makes more sense to do it here because I would love to have Eric bring me a cup of coffee right now.
So your band's from Pittsburgh. That's where I lived before I moved to Nashville.
All real, yeah. They're all from like the Pittsburgh Beaver County area.
Cool. Yeah, I grew up about an hour south of Pittsburgh, so not super far from the West Virginia line.
Close to Morgantown.
Yeah. I was closer to Morgantown than Pittsburgh, but I did go to Pitt, so I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's all right. I imagine you're not a diehard, anyways.
No, I'm not crazy. People
are pretty indifferent towards them that go there.
Yeah,
I remember when I was subbing playing with you, and we played in West Virginia when we opened for Isbell. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
it was like a charity thing.
Yeah, it was the recovery thing down in Lewisburg.
I remember we were on stage and the Eat Shit Pits like were chants were like insane.
Yeah,
and because I did three shows with you that weekend, I think, and another one was in Charlotte, and there was Eat Shit Pits at Charlotte too. I'm like,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, you run into that like in all the states surrounding it. because a lot of West Virginians, they moved to Charlotte, Columbus, Pittsburgh, D.C., mm-hmm. Richmond, Cincinnati for work. You know?
So are we going to hear some Eat Shit for sure. chants tonight during the Charles set?
You'll hear like some sparse people. might hear like in that little, like those few dead seconds mm-hmm. between yeah. songs where you're like, let's go Mountaineers. You hear that sometimes.
Sounds like a
I hear it in my in-ears. Yeah. I love it.
No, I love that too. Honestly, even being a Pitt fan, it's cool. It just shows the rivalry of that area, but it's also, we would go often to Schmitz and see mm-hmm. shows. So every time we'd go down there, it would of course happen. I mean, growing up, I was closer to Morgantown than I was to Pittsburgh. It was just in-state tuition was way cheaper.
Yeah.
Than, so like when I looked mm-hmm. at WVU, I was like, well, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
Because it was out of state.
Yeah.
I just love that. I mean, and as a Pitt fan, I would not be able to go to a Morgantown game because the fans are so diehard, you know?
Yeah, it's a different environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pitt game. I mean, we're playing at Pitt this year, and it's going to look like a Mountaineer game.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The way our fans are.
But. Yeah, that happens a lot up there, too. At like Stage AE, you'll get a lot of Mountaineer fans up there.
Yeah.
Specifically for like the stuff that is Americana-leaning.
Yeah.
Like when Jinx is up there, it was a ton of WVU gear, too. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to see a lot of course, shows at that room before I moved.
Yeah, that's where we go. I mean, you know, a lot of the folks, think it makes more sense for them to play Pittsburgh than
yeah.
North Central West Virginia. So, yeah, we'd go up there to see shows. That's where I saw yeah. the Ava Brothers the first time.
Crazy.
It was May 2011 at Stage AE. They did the Stage AE outside.
Yeah.
Now you're playing Stage AE.
No, I'm playing yep. Stage AE.
September
13th.
13th.
Yeah.
I'm free that weekend. Just throwing that out there. I think we yeah. need to make the road trip, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'm not
then we're going to the game the next day.
So. That's sick.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
You said you're not free?
No, I'm busy already. That's right. Florida, Bama.
Oh, gotcha. All right, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. How was it getting to know the Ava Brothers? I know that you were such a fan of theirs growing up.
Yeah, that's been awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've been going out and listening to their sound check every one of these that they've been on. And, you know, I was pretty straight with them, what their influence, you know, meant to me. And it's why I started playing guitar in the first place. So I wasn't trying to, like, play it cool. Meeting them the first time, and then now I'm just trying to not be overbearing either yeah. and just like, you know, give them their space and stuff, but it's pretty neat.
Have you all gotten to collaborate on anything or write or jam or just
yeah I think I mean we've been doing a song each one of mm-hmm. the shows that we've been doing, and then I'm gonna open for them next year as much as possible. And
is that because just y'all met on this tour, or is that
yeah.
something that
yeah, yeah, I don't think that was going to happen. I mean, I don't think it would have happened
that's
otherwise.
That's so cool, man.
You know, I think it's just from you know, getting to be on this tour, getting to meet them, and then them getting to see our set and see
yeah.
that, you know, we'd do a good job opening for them. So
there's definitely overlap there, I feel like,
for
musically.
Sure.
And I think if your fans don't know about them and vice versa, I think they're going to be like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it's my place to, like, break – set like to say things that haven't been announced yet, mm-hmm. but we're going to be opening some shows for them for sure.
Okay, and we'll keep an eye out for that, hopefully.
Yeah,
yeah, that's super cool.
And I think the reason that they're on this tour is just Luke is just such a massive fan,
yeah,
and has been since he was a kid.
Yeah, being a North Carolina guy, I mean, I think every country fan in North Carolina coming up in the 2000s would have looked up to the Avits
because yeah.
of what they were doing, what they've done. So, yeah, totally. I totally see. It's and to me, it just I love that Luke's a big Avett fan because, you know, I am too. It's something that I really feel like I connect with him with.
I'm surprised that they're not more into the country world. I feel like those guys, because I noticed, like, I was reading like the comments like on one of their Instagram posts about playing with Luke, and I was like, I wonder what their fans think of this, and they were like, what? Like, what is, like, they were confused. And I was like, but to me, it's like, you think it would be now with everyone coming into the genre,
yeah.
seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah. I guess it really depends on the fans, you know, like, because Avett Brothers had such a huge fan base before any of that.
Right.
So,
yeah, yeah.
It's, and if you think about their tour partners previously, it didn't lean extremely country, you know? So I guess it does make sense that some of the fans are a little, I guess, thrown off by it. But like you said, like, country as a genre is so wide right now.
Come on in.
Yeah. It's such a big time in the genre in terms of like how many eyes are on it and how many lanes there are that are working and people are like traveling down and having really great success. So, I mean, and again, like we talked about previously on other pods, a lot of stuff that you would consider to be rock and roll music is now in the country genre, you know?
I feel like the Avets are very country from the subject matter of their songs, the lifestyle that they live,
mm-hmm.
the instrumentation, like it, they've always been very rural, in my opinion.
It makes
perfect sense for them to be on the main opener on one of the biggest stadium tours in the world, because they headline arenas.
Yes. So yeah,
it makes perfect sense. And yeah, I mean, they go out there and freaking kill it. I mean, those guys have been performing together since 2001.
Crazy.
And you can tell it when you see them perform. I mean, I know probably when you guys watch them, it pumps you up to be even better. Because with me, I'm just like watching like the way that Scott and Seth move and what they're doing during an instrumental or something, mm-hmm. when they go away from the mic, the way they're stomping their feet to the beat, clapping, going over and playing together with their keyboard players or their bass player, or their drums, and I watch all that, and like honestly, that's how over the years I watched them. I'd watch Sturgill and Sunday Valley, especially like the way that they would perform and the energy they'd bring, and basically just tried to like copy that.
Take pieces
of
it.
Yeah, that's how. I feel like that's how you get better. I watched Springsteen.
Yeah.
And see how what he does and how he moves and stuff, and just kind of take things that you think are good.
Yeah, make it your own.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Especially what you're doing when you're not just standing at a mic stand and playing guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing, I think, too. It's like, as an artist, the live portion has to be there, especially now with CD sales not being a thing. So it's like, you got to be a good live performer, and you guys crush.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's a show, and we're there to perform. So not only to play the music, but to entertain.
Yeah.
So that's the way I view it.
Shout out to the Allegheny High Boys.
Yeah.
We love them. They're awesome. I mean, it's a show, man. It's like Al is like running around doing kickflips or, you know, somersaults or whatever, shredding,
like,
dude. Yeah. And, you know, Eric's fucking tossing the hair around and everyone's jamming. Miko's standing on something, and it's like, it's the bang for your buck, man, for sure.
That's part of it. That's giving 100% is not just trying to play your best and sound your best,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when you're in front of people, to also perform.
Yeah. Even at the Opry, you guys sent it.
Yeah.
I got to see you play at the Opry on Saturday.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was just like, I'm like, are they going to just kind of stand around and just do like the Opry thing where everyone's like, you know, polite and like quiet? Or are they going to like rock out? And you guys come out, cue Country Roads right away. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Bring the energy.
And then you're, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone was like clapping. And I didn't tell you this, but there was this kid sitting in the pew like in front of me, and I don't know if you knew, you guys started playing and he was like kind of jamming, and then halfway through the second song he's pulling his phone out and like recording everything, and I'm like, it's like I just watched a new fan be born.
Yeah,
you know, which is super cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, again, just every opportunity you give 100%.
It's also weird that like he was like 12 and had like Snapchat, and I was like, do kids have social media?
Yeah, that's regular now.
I was like that's
been happening for a while. I remember when I sold cell phones for Verizon Wireless back in the day, and I remember watching kids come in younger and younger and younger and selling them phones, and it was just wild, you know, watching it change from, you know, I'm 42. So when I was 18, I had a cell phone because I had a job where I was on call. So that's the only reason I even had it then.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know, 4 years later, watching 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds come in and get their first cell phones. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like a 10-year difference from when I got my first one.
I see both sides of it. I see how, because, you know, I'm a parent, so I see how, like, you'd want your kids to have a lifeline.
Yeah.
To call you if they need help, yeah, or something, if something goes wrong, to have that. And then on the other side, you just talk all the downfalls of social media for somebody that's not developed. And
yes.
And sure.
Even themselves. If you are developed.
Yeah.
Even if you are developed, it can be a problem. But especially, like, if you're adolescent, you don't understand that you're seeing the best, you know, the best perception that somebody wants to put off. Like,
yeah,
that's not actually, like, the day-to-day. That's not, everybody has good and bad days. And a lot of times what you're seeing is just somebody putting on a face for the world. And
yeah.
Just the world we live in. But, yeah, a lot of kids don't understand that.
Yeah, it's a highlight reel.
I got to recommend a book. It's called Stolen Focus. I, like, preach about this book all the time. It's really great. It's about, like, the erosion of society's ability to focus. And the author is, like, a journalist. He essentially, like, moves to the beach for, like, 3 months and, like, leaves all technology behind. And then he talks about, like, how transformative it was for his, like, mental health and all this stuff and that. And then he comes back to the real world, and it all just comes right back how he was. And then he talks about, like, kind of why we are having trouble focusing in phones and emails and blah, 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 blah. But it's a really good book, and I think it's a really cool thing. And it helped me identify, like, certain triggers about, like, I'm trying to, like, learn this song. And I'm like, let me pull up my metronome app. And then I'm like, I'm on Instagram already. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's why I have an analog metronome now and shit like that. So, anyway, definitely check that book out if that's something you guys are into. I'm just, like, soapboxing about that, but super, super cool book.
Mm. Yeah, it's been something I've worked through over the years. I think having kids was the best thing for my focus and productivity. I was worried, you know, before Gabriel was born, that it's like, man, how am I gonna get my songs done, and how am I gonna do this and that? And it forced me to become better with my time management and to just be able to lock down and mm-hmm. get things done when they needed to get done. Yeah. So I do a pretty good job of that whole thing. When I get home, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and still get the writing done, mm-hmm. still get the work done at home and things like that, and then also still get to spend time with my family and be pretty locked in.
Yeah, I've heard a buddy of mine who's a father, he was like with his daughter, and his daughter was like, what are you looking at, Dad? And then he was like, he realized that the phone had got him. So he, like, took it and, like, put it in the other room, you know?
Because
mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not intentional about it, then it can get you.
Yeah.
And they make these, like, safes. It's like a clear plastic box with a timer on it. It's like a phone safe. You can put your phone in it and set it, like, a timer for an hour, and it won't let you get your phone out.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I view it like it's just, like, literally like a job or something like that. So, like, you know, Natalie will take, you know, a whole concert album of one of our shows or something, and I'm at home or something, I'll have my phone on Do Not Disturb all day, like, on the charger in my room, and, you know, I don't look at it. And then come evening time, like, I better, like, show the pictures from this show. Mm-hmm. I'll go put them on there, you know, say what date, where it was, you know, thanks for coming out, post, put the phone down, not look at it until the next day.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, and it's just, there's no like, I don't, like, don't give a shit who likes it or who doesn't. It's like, that showing those shows helps people. Hey, that's a good time. Or I love being at that show, you know, great. And then, you know, move on to the next thing. It's just, I don't know. It's definitely something that I see where a lot of people would get in the trap of being like, how many people saying mm-hmm. that?
Yeah. How many and who, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a tough place to live in. I talk about that too. I'm like, if you put out a piece of content, whatever it is, and you think it's good, let it live. Don't worry about, it's out there. Yeah. Don't worry about if people are interacting with it. You can check that whenever you check all of them, yeah, you know, at the end of the week, end of the month.
Straight up work.
Yeah.
Like, it, as is being an entertainment. You're just, all you're doing is just showing that your show is a good time. You know, come on out, you know, if you ever get the opportunity. Thanks for coming. Get back to, like, the things that actually matter, like, in your days.
Yeah.
You know, your family, your artwork, and the daily tasks of, like, keeping your home and things like that. And your body, like, working out and stuff. But
yeah, and going on the run club. But we've done hundreds of these podcasts, and I've never had an artist come in and be like, social media is just such a joy for me to do. I love TikTok.
We have kids that are like, man, TikTok's changed the world for me, but they still don't love being on there all the time.
It's just the work.
Yeah, it's work.
Social media is the LinkedIn of a musician. I'm able to live in Morgantown, West Virginia because of it. That's honestly why things have worked, is because of my ability to connect with people online with my music.
Yeah.
And now we can go all across the country. We our ticket sales are great, and things grow each year because of that. But I you got to look at it, though. It's just a part of work.
Yeah.
And then put it down. Don't get emotionally connected with it. You know, one good thing, too, is just be positive. Like, only interact with things that you like.
Yeah.
If you don't like what somebody says, or if you don't like somebody's music, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
It's not for you. Don't need to comment on it. Don't need to say it. Like, just pay attention to the things that you do like.
Yeah.
And it makes it a more healthy experience, I think.
We have, one of the principles that we've had with Raise Rowdy is there's plenty of things out there in the world that we love. So why am I going to spend time talking about things that I don't love when there's so many things that I do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You can curate it to be a positive.
Absolutely.
Take some work.
Hate just drives engagement sometimes.
It does.
So it's like you're leaving something on the table, but it's like totally worth it.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, Joe Schmo's new record. Let's talk about why it sucks. You know, it's like, or whatever, like posting like this, you know, negative things about people's art and their songs. Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah. For me, it's the same thing like you're talking about. It's headspace. If I'm in a negative headspace about music, then why am I listening to that music? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to turn something on that makes me be in a positive headspace.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a sad song or a happy song, you know, both of those have things that are positive influences on my life.
Yeah.
If it's stuff that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely the right way to approach it.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's different. I mean, there's people that are on the internet specifically to be trolls and haters, kind of, you know, some people. I have buddies that are like that, you know, especially with sports. Sports is very divisive. Yeah. I feel like music is divisive, but not nearly as much as like sports.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because inherently sports are competitive.
Yes.
So there's just always a winner and a loser. So it's just built in almost.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a little bit of that. Whereas music, I mean, everybody, at the end of the day, every music fan has like dozens and dozens of different artists that they listen to.
So yes.
It's not, you're really only in competition with yourself.
Yeah.
And that, you know, whatever resistance you have in your own head.
Mm-hmm. That's why, like, throughout the years, I've eventually got my brain to be like, why am I going to more shows than I'm going to sports events? And I still love going to sports events. But for me, it was, I always leave.
That's because you're a Pitt fan.
Oh, yeah. Dang, yeah. That's a clip. Yeah. No, but even a Steelers fan, and the Steelers historically a great team.
Yeah.
But I was like, why did I spend $150 to go and have a 50% chance of being mad?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've never thought about that before.
Yeah. So I'm like, if I go to a show, I'm not leaving mad. I might be like, it was okay.
Might leave drunk.
Yeah, probably drunk. Yeah. But for me, that's why I think music has filled so much of my life, is because it does end usually in a positive thing, unless there's like a fight in the parking lot and my nose gets broke at a Toby Keith show. But other than that, you know, usually ends
pretty
great. But
we still love the show, though.
Yeah, we had a great time until that happened.
Yeah.
But that's the power of music, in my opinion. It is, music is something that brings people together.
True.
And you know, sports and stuff like that is stuff that kind of separate people. I always laugh, one of my good buddies is from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course he hates the Steelers, you know, as you do in Cleveland. But it's funny because him and all of his buddies are just like me and all my buddies from Pittsburgh. It's just, we grew up in different cities, you know, it's the same people in Cleveland as, you know, in Pittsburgh, and pretty much the same people in Morgantown as in Pittsburgh too, you know, the same kind of folks.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly.
And then you watch the athletes, you know, A-Rod and, you know, David Ortiz are like best friends outside of the game. You know?
Yeah. But it's like when you get to the pro level, it's just
they're like, we're all rich.
Yeah, and you get drafted by whoever you get drafted by,
right?
You just
or traded or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do love sports. I do love me some sports.
Me too.
I went to a Dolphins game earlier this year in February. No, earlier than that, in January, and we got curb stomped by the Bills. And I love you, Dolphins. But I still had a good time. You know, I wasn't like mad about it. But you see these clips where people like throw the clicker at the TV and it like
that's my brother Sean.
Yeah.
Shout out. Blake Ferguson snapping them tight spirals.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's I think I had a little bit of childhood trauma because my dad and my brothers would like scream at the TV. So I would just like being the youngest, I would just kind of like hang in the back and like, yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I grew up in just the Mountaineers. It's almost like, I almost have a hard time enjoying it because I'm just so emotionally invested.
Yeah.
So, like, the wins make a good week. The losses, like, you just have a hard time getting over them.
That's the
But then
Pittsburgh.
I just can't, you know, I show up every time, though. I can't help it.
That's a drug.
It's just the life that it is. Drug.
Yeah. When I was in Pittsburgh working, you know, a day job, I worked in logistics up there. You could feel Mondays be different when the Steelers won or when they lost, like the whole
city
building in the city, but like you'd feel it in the office, like the vibe, the morale would be down. It's just crazy how impactful that is, and it shows you how impactful sports are on people's lives. And music's like that too,
because I mean, it's people's livelihoods.
Every
win is job security, and every loss is like a step closer to, like, you know, being on shaky ground or
nice.
That's what makes it so good, though.
Yeah,
that's what makes it so entertaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing, you know, at stake, then it wouldn't be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you get to make it to any WVU games throughout the year?
Yeah, the last 2 years I've made it to one each season. I'm hoping this year I can make it to at least a few.
Cool.
So yeah, we'll be working a lot less this fall, so I should make it to some
couple games.
Some games in Morgantown. Definitely going to the Pitt WVU game up in Pittsburgh.
But
I should be able to make it to a couple more in Morgantown.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a good time.
I know they love you there.
Yeah. It's nice being home.
Yeah. Well, I want to make it out to that also.
They're very fun.
Like a nice fall day in Morgantown on a football Saturday is a special thing, man. It's just a great atmosphere. Tons of tailgating, and just it's the Mountaineers are the pro team in West Virginia.
Yeah, that's unlimited diehard fans.
It's like an SEC type of atmosphere.
Yeah, as a Pitt student, I of course couldn't go down there. I would have got probably shot. But we would go down before, like when I was younger, before I went to Pitt, and it's an incredible atmosphere. And like you said, that's the thing that everybody loves in not just Morgantown, but in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that so embraced. Like in Pittsburgh, of course, Pitt, you know, not that great all the time, but the Steelers are like that. So I'd had that kind of thing with pro, but I didn't get to see that until I went to Morgantown, until I went to Happy Valley. Penn State's nuts.
That's the college team of Pennsylvania.
Yes,
really. I mean, that's where you have that atmosphere, that
absolutely
kind of culture around the team.
I remember when we were in college and I would come down to WVU to visit friends, I would tell people I went to Penn State so they didn't know I went to Pitt.
Yeah,
and they're like, okay.
I think if you were to go to Morgantown as a Pitt fan, you just get a lot of like eat shit pits and things, but I like to think that you know, nobody would ever be violent towards you.
No,
that's what Phillies fans are. Dude. They throw batteries at people.
Yeah,
there's been a few bad things over the years that have happened, and I think for the vast majority of Mountaineer fans, I think that embarrasses us.
When
people take it too far, I think
that's not honestly, just West Virginia though.
No, that's a lot of markets.
I think the best way, you know, the best version of us is just somebody just, you know, just making a little a little joke maybe.
Yeah. About and the game, I love that, and honestly.
Inviting you to the tailgate. Here, have a drink. Want some food. You know, that's what I'd like to think that most folks would do.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. And also, I think part of that is how the other opposing fan reacts too. Like, if you're a hard ass and someone's giving you shit and you give it back, you just kind of got to take it sometimes. Yeah. You know, you're in their turf, so you kind of got to take that little bit, and you're like, oh, yeah. And it's usually fine.
Yeah, I went to – the Mountaineers played LSU back in 2011 down in Baton Rouge, and I went down, and I remember, like, everybody's going, Tiger bait. But then people were inviting us over for to their tailgate for food and stuff like that. So that's ideally what you want for for being a fan experience going to an away game.
It's yes.
You want to hear a little bit of – this, but then at the same time, like an invitation to hang out and tailgate. So
I'm so ready for football. I'm ready for football right now.
I got the NCAA college football game. Because like everyone was talking about it, and I had a PlayStation, so I was like, "All right, I'll buy it." And it's got me like more amped up for football season. Well, I'm like ready. I'm like, "All right, cool. Yeah, I'm ready for this."
I might have to get a PlayStation and get that after the tour's done.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's been a long time since I played that.
Yeah, I hadn't had a PlayStation for a long time, and I got one, I guess, like a year and a half ago. I didn't have for, like, the system before. I didn't have it all. And I was like, well, this will save me money by not going to the bar, you know?
You just rationalize
that. Yeah. The $600 I'm spending on this, you know? Yeah. If you don't go to the bar five times, it'll even out, you know? But it's been fun, and it is cool because they do have all of the college kids in there now because they got licensing. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the blank faces that – were for a while. And it's definitely different than Madden too, because I'd played Madden a little bit. It plays different, so it's cool to see that back in the world.
I haven't played it yet, but Luke got an early copy, and he's like, I just played it for an entire day.
It's cool.
We had a day off, like, on the road, and he's just like, dude, this game's sick.
It's fun, and they took their time with it, and I think they did a really good job.
And you could play with your friends on the internet, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm not good enough to play online yet. I've just been playing by myself. I would get smoked by all this 13-year-old kids, you know?
Yeah, some of my buddies are all into that. I'd probably get destroyed since I've not played since, like, the mid-2000s.
Oh, yeah. That's how I feel. I'm definitely the old guy playing with the young kids now, you know?
For sure. It's like networking now, dude. It's like you and Luke could get together and play.
I'm about to get some golf clubs, honestly. Yeah. I think I'm feeling it's time. I'm going to get some golf clubs, might join the country club back in Morgantown and just start, you know, start playing. It's always looked like fun. I've always known I'd enjoy it. And it's almost like social media is like, I kept it to keep me from being, I was like, I got to write songs. I need like, I kind of want to play. I really want to play some golf.
You're such an athlete anyway, dude. You're going to pick it up so quick. You are going to get mega addicted, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. But
you're like, cut your hair. You're like wearing polos on stage and like khaki shorts and shoes.
I think I'm going to be inspired by the Golden Bear. I'm going like plaid vests.
Okay.
Maybe like the driver's cap type deal. I'm just gonna look ridiculous.
Like Bagger Vance.
I'm just gonna get to have the excuse to dress like that. So,
I remember when I was a kid, my parents were like, "You can play one rich people sport. You can either golf or you can ski." And of course, as a kid, I picked skiing. You know, especially in Western Pennsylvania, I was like, "Man, I really should have picked golf." has way more useful things in my life now than I would have then. I never really got into golf.
It's addicting, man.
Yeah.
When you hit that ball pure, it's like a dopamine rush in your brain. You're like, I need that again, and then you can't, and you just get. Then like Jake will throw a club every once in a while.
Yeah.
Don't be like that.
I don't want to be like that.
No, you're not that guy.
But yeah, I think it's about time. So maybe this fall I'll get started and get into it.
Well, tell us about your fall. I know you got some cool shows coming up.
Yeah, I mean we have like our biggest week of the year next week. We do New Orleans, then we'll do Houston with you guys, then we play Billy Bob's out there in Fort Worth. And then we go over and play the West Virginia State Fair, which will be our biggest show.
That's awesome.
Headline show to date. And then
how many folks will that be?
I think it's like 7,000 people.
That's great.
Congrats, man.
That'd be awesome. So yeah, we got that, and then we have a last week of the tours. We open for Jamie Johnson in Mississippi. Then we do a couple of Turnpike Troubadours in like Missouri and Kansas.
Yeah.
And then this fall, like, we just have that big Pittsburgh headline show, and we do a like a week and a half Pacific Northwest run in October. Couple more festivals. We do one out in California and Memphis, and then we play like the Carolinas, or I think something like that, in November, and that's it for the year. It's really just a few more weekends after.
Yeah,
after
sounds like a lot when you put it out that way, but
I know. Sure. But yeah, one it'll go by after fast. 2 weeks from now. Once that's it, really, it's just a handful of things left for the year.
Yeah,
yeah, it's weird. It's like we've got this show and then Houston. That's it for this whole tour.
Yeah, that's it. It went quick.
Dang. It's just this tour for me has been, I mean, I'm not traveling as much as you guys are. But it's just, everything has felt very easy and very fun. And it's just been like low friction. You know what I mean? Everything has just been going the way it should. And everything is safe. And the music's been so fun. It's just been like, I just don't want it to end.
Yeah. It's been awesome, man. It's been awesome being a part of it. Yeah, it was cool to see like the whole Twister thing happen, like come out like during while on tour too. You know, that's kind of cool. Just getting to see, like, they got advertisements for the movie like on the big screens in the concert. It's like, man, it's big time stuff. Like having Hollywood blockbuster like partnership with the tour.
And all those movie stars came and we all got to party with them.
Yeah, it's like the lead song for the movie.
Yeah, Natalie's like, you didn't invite me to hang with Glenn. I'm like, sorry.
I said you were a bad wingman.
I'm a bad wingman. Sorry. I'll do better next time, I promise.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it's been good getting the chat with you, man. I won't take too much of your time, but we appreciate you coming and shooting the shit with us,
thanks
man.
For having me on, guys.
Absolutely, man. It's great to hear a voice that sounds like home, you know, and to get it. In your interviews, of course, your singing voice, you know, you can't really pick it up as much, but it's amazing when I hear your interviews because it sounds like where I grew up, man. So, appreciate you taking the time to be on with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone, go buy Charles tickets and merch.
Yeah. If you haven't seen a Charles show, you need to.
You need our help selling tickets these days, but
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, one or two more wouldn't help.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, my name's Kurt.
And I'm Nikki T.
And we'll see you in the front row.